control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 855-453. That number is brought to you by SACL, CAI, 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website over at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site completely free. Unlike those other talk show hosts that want to charge you for accessing their websites, go ahead and head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features there. You can control the content. You submit different items to the site. Others vote on them. The most voted up make it to the front page and the top of the site. And that means more people will see what it is that you think is important. We'll probably see it. Maybe we're more likely to talk about it on the air as a result. So once again, head to freetalklive.com. Get interactive here. Ian and Mark with you as always at 855-450-FREE. I guess not always, because I'm not here every night of the week, only six nights of the week. As most always. Here. Almost all the time. Tonight, you've brought something to the table, Mark, that you say is shocking. And I wonder, is it more shocking than someone setting themselves on fire?
I don't know. Someone setting themselves on fire is pretty shocking.
Let's see. We'll talk about the guy setting himself on fire here first, and then we'll see what you've got that's shocking about a baby being stolen, I think, right?
Yep.
All right. We'll get to that here. Of course, your calls as well, 855-453. I've been talking about this for the last couple of days and haven't actually got a chance to get to it. So here we go. From India, Inc. at the New York Times. A protest march in New Delhi took a dramatic turn after a Tibetan exile self-immolated Monday afternoon. From head to toe, he was full of fire, said Dorji Tessen, the National Director for Students for a Free Tibet, who witnessed the act. And she wasn't the only one who witnessed it. The photo here is pretty graphic. It shows him still on his feet while engulfed in flames, walking down the middle of the street, surrounded by people carrying Tibetan flags and a number of folks with cameras. Pretty intense. Now, the exile Jampa Yeshi, who's believed to be 26 years old, set himself on fire at Jantar Mantar, the site of frequent protests, 12:25 in the afternoon, shortly after a Tibetan rally made its way back from Ramalia Maidan, another popular ground for political demonstrations in New Delhi. The protesters were agitating against the India visit of Hu Jintao, the Chinese president.
Right.
For the BRICS summit, an economic meeting of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa later this week. Leaders of Tibetan groups said Mr. Yeshi had not told anyone he planned to set himself on fire. He said, one of them said that it's not planned by any organization, and that they appreciate his courage, however. Mr. Yeshi was rushed to the hospital minutes after setting himself ablaze. Witnesses said that he was severely burned and his scorched flesh was peeling off.
Of course it was.
Mr. Yeshi set himself afire behind one of the gates at Jantar Mantar and then streaked past the podium in a ball of fire and crumpled under the tree on a road in front of the protesters, they said. The police and Tibetan activists then rushed forward with clothes and water to douse the flames. He was shouting. I was in shock. There were women crying, said a witness. It was very emotional. I don't know what it would lead to in the coming days. Activists said that Mr. Yeshi, who left Tibet a couple of years ago, self-immolated, while Inder Singh Nabhari, a minister in the lower house of parliament, was speaking at the podium at about the high number of self-immolations in Tibet. Over the past year, approximately 30 Tibetans in Tibet have set themselves ablaze to protest Chinese rule in Tibetan areas.
Now, so the Tibetans have taken this sort of peaceful resistance kind of stand against China's assumption that they rule them,
mm-hmm.
And I think that it's interesting to see, how is this going to work, this kind of, non-cooperative, some defiance mm-hmm. to this, what Americans are going to look at as a pretty tyrannical governmental organization.
The Chinese mean?
Chinese. So, how's it going to work? And frankly, when you look at the cost in lives, civil resistance almost always is, less than armed resistance is going to be.
That makes sense.
In the cost of lives.
But
somebody has to be willing to give up their own at that point.
Obviously, from a personal cost standpoint, this is an incredibly dangerous act.
And yeah, sure.
They point out here that of the 30 people who have set themselves ablaze, 22 have died. And I don't imagine life is pretty peachy for the remaining 8.
No, I can't imagine.
So
there's probably days that you just think it would have been better if you wouldn't have put me out. Thanks.
Right, yeah, exactly. This is fascinating to me because it really shows to the extent to which some people are willing to go to protest. I mean, this is the most, probably the penultimate the most extreme, I think, that I can think of form of protest I've ever come across.
Can you promise me now that you're never going to do this?
Well, I think that would be a terrible idea, Mark.
I would think it would be a terrible idea,
I don't know under what circumstances I would do this, but I can't say I promise you I wouldn't.
You're such a weirdo.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I come from the perspective of having been pretty angry in the past, and usually that anger leads to thoughts about violence, and that's who I used to be, and I'm not that person today. But if I were pushed to the point of extreme frustration and just... I don't know what point these guys get to. Hopelessness? I mean, they must still have hope for the movement, obviously, but...
Well, I think that they think to themselves... I mean, I'm just guessing what I would think is that, you know, my life is most valuable. This cause is so important to me, and my life will be best used
in
this circumstance by setting myself on fire. I have no voice. People do not listen to me. The international press could care less what's going on with me. The only way that I'm going to get any kind of attention for what is important to me is to set myself on fire.
It's really it's hard to even imagine it, right? It's hard to put oneself in those shoes because we're oppressed over here, but obviously not in the same way as people in other places around the country.
Yeah, when you're talking about oppression in other countries, you know, the physical oppression that goes on in other countries, and then, you know, you can't even use the term oppression in the to refer to what goes on in the United States. I mean, it's oppression, certainly in the greater, you know, umbrella of
oppression. Well, right, it's oppression in that we're not free, and they're not free. It's just that we have a little bit more, probably, choice and freedom than they do.
Or a lot more. I mean, it's a lot more comfortable.
Right.
I don't know about choices, but comfort.
So, and it's also interesting to look at this issue, not just from the perspective of, you know, the human story and what pushes somebody this far and why they would make a choice like this and what's going on in their mind, what's behind it, but also to look at the press coverage as well. This is getting international press coverage. And I don't know if Thomas Ball got the same kind of press coverage.
I don't think they do know. The guy sets himself on fire in Keene, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Over father's rights issues, and it is just snuffed.
Right, and he had gotten to the point where he was really frustrated. He was looking at jail time. In fact, he had a court appointment that was just coming up imminently, and he set himself ablaze out front of that very courthouse that had been ruling his life for the last decade. He had been pushed to the point where he really decided that he couldn't deal with it anymore. I mean, right. He still had kids that he could have seen at some point, perhaps in the future, but he decided that it was better to make a statement.
And it shows the inherent sort of bias inside the media, I feel like. Because if this had been a woman setting herself on fire over domestic abuse, an issue that just has all kind of fervor, because I'm afraid, you know, sadly, this father's rights thing is a sexually charged issue. Mm. So if it would have been a woman setting herself on fire over domestic abuse, which is also a sexually charged issue, but frankly, they found out it's 70% of the cases, you know, the women are involved. It's a fight, not a not an abuse situation. Mm. Often. It's an unfair fight a lot of times, but you never know, and just to make assumptions based on short news stories doesn't really work out. It would have been a lot more press coverage for the woman than there was for Thomas Ball, right. In my opinion.
Thomas Ball, the man that set himself ablaze here in Keene, New Hampshire, is where we do this radio program, in front of the courthouse. He got coverage locally, of course. That's to be expected. But outside of the Keene area, there really wasn't much else in the news. I mean, he may have gotten a mention on WMUR, the local TV station in New Hampshire.
That's local.
But nothing really outside of the immediate region. And the same thing happened to the person who set themselves ablaze prior to Thomas Ball. I went and I looked, and I thought to myself, well, how often does this happen? Because you certainly don't hear about it very often. And if I'm recalling correctly, the last time it happened prior to Thomas Ball that I could find was, I think it was Portland. Someone said Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Someone set themselves ablaze. I think it was 2006. I could be misremembering something there, but it was, you know, about 5 years prior or 6 years prior, someone set themselves on fire in this country. And I forget what the issue was in that particular case. But that didn't get a whole lot of coverage either. You would think that this would be a little bit more significant when someone makes a choice like that the media would follow.
The U.S. doesn't have problems.
855-450-FREE, or those people must be crazy, so let's not talk about them. 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Available now, four new songs from Raja Mojo. Raja Mojo. That's R-A-J-A-M-O-J-O. Raja Mojo.
IMS, dirty IMS, takes away everything you can get. Keep them on the hook with this affordable debt.
And they call it democracy.
Raja Mojo.
Everybody knows the game is rigged. The poor stay poor, the rich stay rich.
Four new songs from Raja Mojo. Buy them today at Amazon, iTunes, Napster, and at a discount at CDBaby.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Do you know which 37 crucial food items are going to fly off the shelves when the next disaster hits? If you don't, you and your family may be without food and waiting in long food lines after a big disaster strikes. You would be surprised how many people don't have these food items right now. 123SurvivalPlan.com has set up a For Patriots Only video with inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. The video on 123SurvivalPlan.com has crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any disaster, natural or man-made. And you won't have to be afraid of going hungry or being sent to a FEMA refugee camp. See the video that over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen in the last 4 months. Prepared now. Go to 123SurvivalPlan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123SurvivalPlan.com. Again, that's 123SurvivalPlan.com.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Live. Toll-free number here for you is 855-453. We're talking about self-immolation. You can comment on that or bring up whatever is on your mind. 855-450-3733. Here tonight with you is Ian.
And Mark.
And we invite you over to the website at freetalklive.com. Lots of archives await you. You can download as many of the episodes of this show as you would like, going all the way back to late 2006, free at freetalklive.com.
if you've got a family, you really should have some kind of energy backup, you know, device for situations like, you know, natural disasters or whatever. It's a good idea to have something, you know, have something there to provide power in the case of emergency. You know, a lot of people have freezers and refrigerators. Obviously, people have refrigerators, but a lot of people have these backup freezers. There could be $1,000 worth of food in these things. They go out for 6 hours a day, you've lost it. Power can go out any time, whether it's ice storms or hurricanes or whatever. A good way to do that kind of backing up is the SG1 solar power generating system. Unlike a regular generator, it's constantly paying for itself because it's constantly providing energy to these devices you've taken essentially off the grid. Go find out more at freetalklivesolar.com. It's freetalklivesolar.com.
All right, so we will continue here at 855-453 with a little bit more about the situation over in India. It's actually happening in New Delhi. Now, it's Tibetans who are protesting. In this case, they're protesting the visit of the Chinese president, Hu. Hu Jintao
who?
Is his name, yeah.
You like the joke?
H-U. Yeah. Who's on first? What? all right, so they're protesting him, and over the last year, about 30 Tibetans in Tibet have set themselves ablaze to protest Chinese rule in Tibetan areas of them. Many of the monks and nuns, 22, have died. Two days ago, a gentleman named Jampa Yeshi, 26 years old, set himself ablaze during this particular gathering they were having of people, executives and bureaucrats from Brazil, Russia, India, and China, South Africa. He decided to set himself on fire, which actually... He chose the same spot as Thupten Nyingdop, who did the same thing in 1998. He's actually, Mr. Yeshi is the third protester to self-immolate in India over this particular, I don't know if it's the third protester of all time or the third protester just on this particular issue, but another protester had suffered minor burns, so three have self-immolated, one minor burns, two have died, because the update on this story from the Huffington Post is that Jampa Yeshi is now dead as of today, Tibetan exile.
I don't want this to come out wrong, but thank God. I mean, I wouldn't want to live through
after
that.
After that,
there's I wonder about saving suicides in a lot of cases. People that are attempted suicides.
I agree with you there. I feel like it was his choice to set himself ablaze. That means he was ready to go out and to keep him alive it seems inhumane to me. I mean, to have somebody in that level of that's going to be painful when you come to consciousness
if you do come
to consciousness.
Yeah.
So, Jampa Yeshi set himself, they spell his name differently in this article, set himself alight, and they go on to talk about what were some of the things going on around this, because, you know, there's obviously things happening in India as well that are worth protesting, and Indian police and soldiers have orders to restrict the movement of New Delhi's Tibetan population, which, according to the other story...
Nice. Just profile the heck out of them, right?
According to this other story, there are 120,000 Tibetans living in India. And so they have orders to restrict the movement of New Delhi's Tibetan population while Hu is in town, according to their police spokes bureaucrat. Police have actually surrounded the city's Tibetan neighborhoods, erecting barricades and refusing to allow young people to leave except for medical or court appointments under police escort. Hundreds of Tibetan activists have been rounded up, including a poet, Tenzin Sundu, who had just finished speaking to the Tibetan Women's Association when he was taken into custody under laws that allow what they call preventative detention. Does that sound familiar?
Preventative detention?
Mm-hmm.
What are you referring to?
It sounds like what the U.S. federal government, sounds very similar to the policies that they've granted themselves, the powers that they've granted
recently
themselves.
Recently, you mean?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they can take you away, too, if they want to detain you.
There's no good story on it yet, but
I don't want
that good story.
Right, I think you're right about that observation, but maybe that's simply because the local media hasn't written that story. I mean, as we pointed out before, people set themselves ablaze here in this country, and the media just doesn't seem to care. It's like, oh, well, that guy's crazy. He gets local coverage in the local newspaper, and that's about as far as the story gets out there. So if somebody was disappearing in this country... would really necessarily know?
I don't know.
I think you're right. Hopefully we'll never get that story. But nonetheless, it doesn't mean it's not happening to people, and it certainly is happening in India here in New Delhi. This poet was taken because he has a long history of protesting at such events. Activists condemned the crackdown This action is unlawful, they say, and a complete surrender to the Chinese pressure and the surrender of our own national pride, said one Indian intellectual, Rajiv Vora. Many activists had managed to evade the police cordons and were trying to stage protests across the city. At least a dozen were taken into custody Wednesday morning as they tried to reach a United Nations office where they planned to demonstrate. The group said a grand funeral deserving of a martyr is planned for Yeshi in the Tibetan exiled community's headquarters. He's survived by his mother and four siblings.
So. It's hard to imagine what drives a person to, you know, do it. And, I mean, it is the ultimate sacrifice for whatever cause it is that you're for. And, you know, one wonders what kind of value it is in the sort of the long run. When you think about the Arab Spring, and, you know, obviously we're, you know, history hasn't quite had a chance to catch up with us on the Arab Spring, but that guy that self-immolated that essentially started the Arab Spring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was an immolation that really caused something to happen, but what did it cause to happen? At this point, we don't really know. Is there any more freedom in Egypt than there was?
Well, no, the military took control, right?
Right.
Protests again recently, were there not?
Yes. And then Tunisia, to some extent, there's, you know, more freedom. Certainly the dictator, you know, longtime dictator there is gone, but, you know, it's not like you're trading, I'll trade this for this, and you don't know what you're getting. You know, it's just you're self-immolating for whatever's behind door number one, and door number one traditionally hasn't been really that great. Yeah, it's like a donkey.
People get pushed to the edge, though, Mark, and they don't know what else to do.
Sure.
And if you've had everything taken from you, if, let's say, you know, again, he had some people that did survive him, but if you've had your family taken from you, your son's been taken from you, your daughter's been taken from you, your wife has been murdered, or, you know, if you get to the point where you've got nothing left, this is definitely preferable to blowing some other people up, right? Like, setting yourself on fire is a preferable choice to using violence against anyone, in my opinion. And that's why I say I think it's the most intense, kind of the pinnacle, if you will, of the sort of protest right. That an individual can engage in.
Palestinians have been doing all kinds of sort of violent protests against Israel for a very long time.
How's that working out?
They're just terrorists, you know, so it's not easy to, shake loose these giant violent organizations known as government or the state in wherever they are. It's really, really difficult. These people are ensconced. They make their living this way. They are used to getting what they want the way they want it, and they're used to you providing it and shutting up while you do it. And when somebody doesn't shut up, they don't like that very much.
This toll-free number here is 855-453. You are certainly welcome to take control of the airways, bring up anything you want, or comment on the issue of self-immolation. Are we going to see more of these in the U.S. over time? And when will more people be pushed to this point? And how many of them does it take to actually create some sort of positive change?
Your family and loved ones aren't ready for empty grocery store shelves. Will they survive if the system crashes tomorrow? Are you prepared to feed your family when a major crisis occurs? Will they perish from the lack of available food because you procrastinated? Getting self-reliant is the only way to ensure you and your loved ones will make it through the coming hardships. One of the most important survival products that is a must-have is Garden Food Seeds. GetSeeds.net is offering a huge garden in a bag that will give you and your family the food security that it deserves. Our food garden in a bag consists of a whopping 100 packets of the highest quality, non-GMO, heirloom vegetable, culinary herbs, and a couple of garden variety of fruit seeds for only $59. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 100 packets of seeds for only $59. This blowout sale will end soon, so call now to secure your huge garden in a bag that is heat-sealed for long-term storage at GetSeeds.net. That's GetSeeds.net, or call now at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. Don't delay. Call today.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness, 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289, solar lanterns just $24.95, solar waterproof flashlights only $12.95, cook anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free at 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And you can join us on our website as well over at freetalklive.com. A lot of features await you there, and you can interact with them for free. You can go to bbs.freetalklive.com to find other listeners of the program. It's essentially our message board. And we also post show notes and the stuff that we use on the air. We'll post that over there. So if you want us to see more about this self-immolation story we've been discussing from over in New Delhi, you can see this as well as the picture that's included with it. Just pretty shocking. Over at bbs.freetalklive.com. That'll be up a little bit later on. I mean, if you've never seen someone burning in real life before.
And walking down the street.
Yeah, this is a pretty intense photo. So, again, that'll be up later at bbs.freetalklive.com in the show notes section.
Yeah, if you're interested in getting a hold of some precious metals, now may be a good time to do it. A lot of experts are predicting that we're going to see a rise in gold and silver. Whether you want it as a hedge against inflation or an investment or barter currency, whatever your reasons for getting gold and silver, you should have it in your possession, not paper, not on paper, not somebody just talking about you've got gold and silver, or, you know, you're buying into some large thing of gold and silver. You should have it in your hands. Best way to do that is go to gold.freetalklive.com. It's gold.freetalklive.com. When you buy gold there, not only are you going to get some really great rates, but you're going to be helping Free Talk Live. It's gold.freetalklive.com.
All right, once again, toll-free number here, 855-453. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Now, Mark, you said you had something shocking to start the show out with here tonight. We started with self-immolation, so tell me what you've got.
Well, it looks like the state's gone after another baby. And this one may be over vaccinations, but it's, you know, the story's a little murky as to exactly what the state's problem is. This is from WorldNet Daily at WND.com. Certainly a conservative site, but we at Free Talk Live, we go all over and look for all kinds of different...
I did the Huffington Post in the last discussion.
That's right. So I'm going to start here in the middle. It's a longer article, and I just want to get the facts out. Their baby, whom I will call Annie, was born in the ambulance in the parking lot of Hershey Medical Center, a government hospital in Pennsylvania. Hospital personnel arrived very quickly and took charge of both the baby and the mom. But when Jody asked nurses about her baby, this is the mother, the hospital staff was utterly unresponsive. When they started to give Jody an injection, she asked what it was and what it was for, and they gave her the vague answer like it was just to help. And this is sometimes,
very customer oriented.
Yeah, I can understand why it is that that hospitals are like, let's just get this done. We need to do this quickly.
Yeah.
Time is of the essence here. But at the same time, I understand why people want are concerned about their medical attention for them and their family.
Well, I mean, just on a consumer level basis, if you ask a service provider what they're doing and you're paying them, then they should answer the question. Like, hey, what are you doing over there, Mr. Auto Repair Guy?
hey, whatever.
I'd like to have an explanation.
Get out of here.
Right.
You're not supposed to be back in the garage.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. That would be annoying, right, if everybody came up to the so-called experts and demanded they explain every step of the process. I totally understand that. But on the other hand, I think that if somebody asks for an explanation, it doesn't hurt to provide it.
Customers deserve to know, and...
Or you should go somewhere else where you can get that information. Which, of course, with a hospital, in a lot of places, it's difficult to do. In some places, you only have one hospital in the near vicinity.
Right, and you're there, and that's where you are.
Right, you'd have to travel a great distance in some cases to find another one.
No doubt. And often the birthing process is very important to women and families. They want what they want around this process, and they want it to go the way they want it to go. And, different hospitals have their way of doing things. They're going to do it their way, and if you want to do it some other way, you're doing it the wrong way. Like, it's the right way and your way is kind of what a lot of times these big medical establishments think.
Well, and usually they want you to kind of turn over those decision-making abilities all to them, don't they? I mean, don't you pretty much have to, like, sign off when you get admitted if you are in the condition in which you can do something like that, and then you take whatever they throw at you?
Well, I can tell you, I know what it's like. For instance, my son, 4 years old, we're working on getting dressed these days by yourself. And I know I'm an expert getting dressed. Mm-hmm. I've been getting dressed a lot. I've gotten dressed a great deal in my life. He hasn't gotten dressed himself very often, and he's got some different ideas about how to go about it. And as far as I'm concerned, they stink, right? Like, whatever you're doing is wrong, it's slow. And now, I've come to the conclusion that the best way to do this is not by helping him. To some extent, I think he wants help. Right? Like, he just wants me to help him, and I'm not going to do it. He's 4 years old, and, you can put your shirt on yourself. Yeah. I know you could do it. I've watched you do it before.
Trying to manipulate you, Mark.
Yeah, it's a certain amount of that. So I just sit there, and, if it's time for some coaching, it's time for some coaching. But, there's times when the clock is ticking. Today I had to get to a doctor's appointment, and, I had set aside a half of an hour
to dress.
To get
Jack.
Yeah, right. For me to get dressed and for Jack to get dressed, and it takes me 5 minutes.
Right.
And then the rest of it, and he didn't want to do it. Now, if I'm going to stand there and I'm going to coach him through the process, then he really has to be on board with that process, right? Mm-hmm. So at some point or another, 15 minutes into this, where he wants to play with cars, and I'm standing there telling him, let's get, take your pajamas off or whatever, I'm like, okay. I've got to do this. All right, Jack, I'm going to do this if you don't do this. And I'm going to count to five. And he just kind of looked at me like, what's this guy doing? I don't know whether he didn't offer to help count, which is kind of unusual for him. And, we got to five, and he wasn't doing anything. So I went ahead and took his clothes off, put new clothes on, and, he was just having a fit by the end of this because he wanted to control the situation.
Hmm.
And you can see this is what it's like. Like, I'm certain that I'm right about controlling this situation. I'm positive I am. And he's positive that he has the rights that surround his body.
Well, it's going to be fun when he's a teenager.
Well, this is how it goes, right? Well, when he's a teenager, you can leave him home when he's screwing around.
I see what you're saying.
Hopefully he doesn't set the place on fire. But, and then so he's having a real fit, and it's going to be a real problem. He's trying to take his clothing off. I just decided the best way to do this, let's go put him in the car seat and get him clicked in. Of course, you know, here's the civil disobedience. I would hate to have video of this particular thing going out on the internet. And, you know, I have to click him in and get him all in the seat. And, you know, he's in there just having a fit, screaming his head off. And I'm sure, to some extent, this is the mentality that's going on with the hospital and the patient. The patient's like, this is me here, and I've got my rights, and I want to know. And the hospital's
look, lady,
like,
we're the experts.
Right. Look, we've done this 100,000 times. There are people lined up behind you. You know, we've got stuff to do, and you're just, you're causing problems.
Well, but it doesn't address, while it all makes sense, it doesn't address the issue of customer service.
Sure it doesn't.
And in a true marketplace where people are available or other businesses are available to compete and there's not as much of this crazy government regulation stopping them from doing so, then maybe you'd have more service-oriented hospitals. A lot of people will tell you that their experience in a hospital was just a nightmare. That just people didn't treat them very well. I'm not saying this is the case for everybody.
Nope.
I think there are a lot of hospital staff that really do care and they do their best.
And everybody has good days and bad days.
Sure. But on the other hand,
if somebody just had the opportunity to see me as a dad this morning at this particular time on the way to the doctor's office, they'd say, that's a bad dad.
Right.
Because the situation was out of control.
And it's a bad situation in the first place in hospitals because of the highly regulated environment in which they exist that basically takes away a lot of the market incentives to treat people like customers. I mean, for instance, a good example of this is you can't get prices from most hospitals.
No,
you can't walk
the people
in there.
Don't even seem to know.
Right, no. I mean, why should they? It's not their department. You know, that's billing or the insurance department.
Mm-hmm.
So you go and you ask for a price, which is a common practice in most retail establishments. You ask for a price, and they look at you with a blank stare. Well, why on earth would you be asking about that?
The one time I did ask one of these folks this, you know, Jack was being born, actually I got bad information.
Oh, no.
They had me take a test. She wanted me to take this advanced test. And I asked how much it was. Well, she said, well, I'll tell you what. Take this, this preliminary test to find out whether you need the advanced test. The preliminary test costs more than the advanced test did.
There's more coming up here at 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Also, we'll find out what happened with this baby in a moment. Yeah. It's Free Talk Live.
I am so excited about Pork Fest this year.
Pork Fest? What's that?
It's the Porcupine Freedom Festival, a fun and educational camping event put on every summer by the Free State Project. This year it's going to be happening June 18th to the 24th at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire.
Okay, I like camping, and I definitely like freedom, but my budget is tight.
Tickets are only $30 for the whole week if you get in before May 1st.
Well, that sounds reasonable, but what goes on there?
What doesn't go on at Porkfest? There are speakers, family fun, dance parties, karaoke, a comedy roast, hiking, campfires, sports, a wedding, and all kinds of delicious food. But the part that I like best is spending time with other people who love freedom.
That's sounding pretty good to me. Where can I go to learn more?
Check out porkfest.com, and make sure you spell pork like a porcupine. PORCFEST.com. Like what you see?
Looks like a blast. Okay, I'm in. See you at Porkfest.
While you're there, check out how you can become a VIP, very important porcupine, for a modest donation. See you at Porkfest.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com. Civilian Emergency Dispatch System. Peace through preparedness.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. Toll free number here is 855-453. That number brought to you by Cycle CAI, and here with you this evening is Ian
and Mark.
Once again, 855-450-3733. Join us on our website, freetalklive.com, is where you can go to access various features, and they're all free. So you can go there and enjoy those. And also, if you want, support the show. Go to promote.freetalklive.com. That's where you can get a free bumper sticker, download some graphics for your website, some high-res graphics you can use to maybe make a T-shirt or something like that. We've got all kinds of stuff over at promote.freetalklive.com. And once again, that's promote.freetalklive.com. We'll get back to the baby-stealing story here in a moment. We'll go to your phone calls first, though. Andrew is listening in Ohio. Andrew, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hey, Andrew, what's on your mind?
I have a question. I'm pretty liberty-minded, and I've been trying to wrap my mind around this one concept. Do you guys believe that a person should be able to sell themselves off in a contract in order to be killed, in order to, say, feed their family or provide their family with more goods or food for the future?
So this is kind of the Hunger Games scenario where a person, you know, I'm out of work. I'm an out of work. What's going poorly these days? The loan broker. And I, you know, my family needs to be fed. So I sell myself to a rich bunch of sickos who want to hunt fat 40-year-old in the woods. And
the Hunger Games wasn't a consensual situation, but no, I see where you're coming from.
We're talking about, you know, kind of putting together the scenario here. And these people would hunt me down and kill me in order, and God knows do what after that.
And the television audience would watch, and the people would sell ads, and then your family would get a cut of the money.
Right.
It wouldn't even need to be an audience or anything. It could be like, oh, I'm going to line you up in front of me. I'm just going to shoot you in the head.
Could be.
Some crazy wealthy guy that wants to just execute people. Okay, I see where you're coming from. So the question is, should that be acceptable?
In Indonesia.
Say again, you're a little muffled there.
I've heard about that happening in, like, Indonesia and Malaysia. So
You mean rich men paying to just murder people?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I take your word for it. I don't know anything about it, but
it's a wide, wide world out there.
I can't imagine why somebody would. I mean, that's a pretty. It seems like a very short sort of fun thing to do. I mean, you know, hunting, one can see why somebody would want to hunt an individual, because hunting, you know, it's sort of prolonged, and you can, you know, if you're into hunting, then it takes a while, and there's a culmination and all that stuff. You know, a quick trigger pull.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah,
either way, it's sick. And,
yeah, sure.
And so the question is that all right? I mean, I think it's crazy.
Well, wait. What I would say is, do you believe it's all right for somebody to kill themselves?
My question is, should a person be able to...
I understand what your question is. I've got a new question. My question is, should a person be able to kill themselves?
Yes.
Should a person, if a person wishes, so should they be able to delegate the power to kill themselves to someone else?
As long as the party agrees, yes.
Yeah.
And should a person be able to earn money in order to feed their family?
That's completely up to the person.
What was your question again, Andrew?
It was basically, should a person be able to sell their wife to another person in order to be killed to provide money or some other service to their family down the line?
So I guess you just answered your own question. You agree that they should, right? And I would agree with you.
Well, I put the components of this question together. And, you know, as disturbing as I find this, and I certainly do find it disturbing, and I think that people should bring to light when people are doing things like this, you know, that, you know, there should be news stories and video. And
it reminds
people talking
me of the cannibal story.
It
reminds me of the cannibal story from Germany where the guy brought a victim over and they both consented. The guy consented to be being eaten by this guy. And
all along the way. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, sign this paper, you consent. I mean, this guy was actually cutting his flesh from, like, his leg and buttock.
Oh, God.
And he kept on asking him on video whether or not he consented. I mean, this is sick and weird as it all gets. And, you know, do I feel bad that this weirdo ends up in jail or prison? I haven't lost a wink of sleep over
it. I don't think he deserves to be in prison. I mean, I think that's wrong.
I think it's wrong, but I haven't lost any sleep over it.
Okay, yeah, I haven't lost sleep over it either, but I think I still feel bad for the guy. I mean, it's weird, but it's not my business.
I don't feel bad.
If you want to go and eat somebody and they consent to it, then whatever. Just make sure you clean up the mess.
I agree with that 100%. It's disgusting. I'm just wondering what your guys' thought was on the whole personal consent on offering one up for death.
Now, I think, death is something you can sell pretty easily, but I wonder about sort of servitude and, say, signing a contract for, you know, what I'm poor and, you know, they want me in the salt mines for 4 years to feed my family or whatever. And, you know, like, you can sign something today, but in 3 years, you're going to be a different person in a different place.
That's
and can
true.
You really sell your, your future desires? And that's an interesting question to me, than your death, because, you know, I would assume you don't have a lot of desires in the future once you're dead.
Yeah, that does get into a trickier discussion, but I think ultimately you should be free to make detrimental choices in your life. I mean, can you sign up for a cell phone contract that lasts for multiple years? Yes, you can.
Yes, happens to me all the time.
Right. Andrew,
keep
thanks.
On making that mistake.
Do we answer your question?
I think so.
All right, man. Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. 855-453. You know, we can talk about the baby here and what happened to it. We'll bring that back around in the next hour. But since you brought up the Hunger Games, Mark, it's worth mentioning that this movie, which I did see over the weekend, was number one, apparently, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. Actually, the record setter for the biggest opening three-day weekend. That is the non-sequel, the biggest non-sequel opening weekend ever. So it's only beaten out by The Dark Knight and something else out there. But
Empire Strikes Back or something?
Something like that. And I don't know if they're adjusting for inflation. I think usually in these projections, in these analyses,
it's so fun
they don't.
To adjust for inflation on these things. And frankly, the inflation numbers stink anyway. So I think it's, you know, having the new one come along all the time. I think
it's
one of the very best things about inflation is that we can get that new greatest movie that comes out. reason for inflation, but
well, I think it's reason. I think it's interesting to look back and see, well, what did Gone with the Wind make in today's dollars?
Yeah.
And I think when you actually do you run the numbers. The last time I looked, maybe that's changed, but the last time I looked, I thought it was Gone with the Wind. And maybe I could pull that up here during the news break or something. We can verify that. But as far as what was the highest grossing movie of all time in today's dollars, you go back in time, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, one wonders if that's doing as near as well. Fair. I mean, there were fewer theaters at the time.
Fewer films.
The culture was less diverse. You have also a situation. Yeah, right. There's not as many movies running today.
Fair to compare within the last 30 years rather than the last 60? Or
I would say that's more fair. Yeah. I mean, I just don't know. I think that it's always these all time greatest hitter in baseball. Well, you know, these people didn't have antibiotics. They had wars to fight. You know, there's all these reasons why they didn't understand nutrition in the same way. They didn't have nutritional supplements that increased performance. Just all these things that make it different.
I thought it was good, by the way, the Hunger Games. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. We had a gentleman call up last week and just speak very highly of the book series. It's a very liberty-oriented book series that he voraciously read through prior to, I guess, giving it to his son or daughter in that case.
Daughter.
And that made me think, wow, you know, there's really going to be something to this this movie from a liberty perspective. And I have to say that, nah, it wasn't really there. I think Jason Talley made the most prescient observation, and that is that the main character doesn't actually initiate force throughout the entire film. And that was, I think, a useful observation. It's something I picked up on as I was watching it. But there was nothing really, you know, obvious about themes of freedom. You could tell that these people were living in a kind of a dystopian future. They're not living in very good conditions. There's definitely class distinctions between the capital city and some of the outlying districts, and you can see the oppressive forces. They dress in white in this film. The bad guys dress in white. The cops do, and you can see them oppressing people in a few scenes in the film. And at one point, there does seem to be some sort of an uprising happening in one of the districts, but there's not really much surrounding it. There's no real context for it as far as, you know, what sparked it besides just
what's happening.
Anger and frustration.
Right.
And word is that she foments some sort of a revolution in the second book. So maybe the second and third films will be much more of a straight-up, you know, rebellious/liberty message.
Well, you know, the liberty message that's going to hit you may not be, you know, you don't want to make it too strong. You don't want to come on too strong initially.
Well, I don't know. It just depends. I mean, Pleasantville was certainly, you know, in your face with what themes they had. More coming up here, so I'm looking forward to the next movies.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money, controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com. As a smoker, you know traditional cigarettes are unhealthy, and the taxes be the very beast stealing your freedom to smoke. That's why the Vapor Station offers an assortment of electronic cigarette kits. Each rechargeable, refillable kit is an effective, affordable alternative to smoking. No combustion, no tar, no foul lingering odors, and no smoke, secondhand or otherwise. Just inhale pure enjoyment and exhale vapor. Take a puff just about anywhere without getting hassled. Get your e-cigarette kit now at VaporStation.com.